Welcome to the Christ Life Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Olubi Johnson. For more information about this podcast and our other resources, please visit spcconline.org. God bless you.
You jackpot because you don't know God's plan. And you're not working with him. I'm not saying you can't go abroad to study and all of that. But what I'm saying is that don't make abroad your permanent location. No. The hour is coming where people will envy the people in Nigeria. The green passport will become as precious as the blue passport. That's why I gave the example of America. God said I should give it. You see, you can now, we have the hindsight of history. Look at how long it took and all the twists and turns. But ultimately, I remember in 1989, my wife and I went to America with our friend, Brother Bankole Akimola, you know, and Pastor Ulysses Tuff. And the Tufts were so kind, you know, they were so nice to us. They used to take us out, take us to the best restaurants and everything. So one day they took us on a drive. Honey, you remember? We crossed the railway. This was in Atlanta, Georgia. You know, we crossed the railway line. And then they were telling us, they say, Pastor, do you believe that just a few years ago we could not come here? Couldn't come there. They were telling us. They said, this place that we're going, this restaurant, we couldn't go there. Whites only. They told us. They say it's unbelievable now. You can. He said, now look at, we can go, we can. He said, there was a time we could do, when we were children, you can't go there. The white man, they will flog you if they don't kill you. And who born a black man to talk to a white woman? Ha! Or have a white girlfriend. Or sleep with a white woman, you're a dead man. You're a dead man. You'll just find they'll come to your house in the night. Ku Klux Klan. With all this white robe. And the sheriff of the town is part of them. The person who is going to investigate the murder is a part of them. So how can they ever find out who did it? It will be the unknown, like Nigeria. The unknown gunman. They'll just say that. They say that nigger. He went out with a white woman. He just say, we'll deal with him. You understand? Nobody will say anything to you. You just in the middle of the night. You'll be going somewhere. They pick you up. You know. The next time they find you, they'll find you strung on a tree. That I'm not talking about something that happened. I'm talking about this is in the 60s. But all that's gone now. A clap offering for the Lord. A clap offering for them. Our daughter Dara is now married to a white man. There was a time in America that was against the law. Interracial marriage was forbidden. If America got there, Nigeria would get there. Give the Lord another clap offering. We'll get there. Just don't stop praying. And saying the right things for Nigeria. We will get there. We still will have some twists and turns, but we'll get there. That's Jara is not part of the message, but okay. Now let's look at one or two other things before we close. So now let's go to chapter 15. This is God's covenant. God ratified his covenant with Abraham three times. The first one was Genesis 12, when he was called. We saw that last time. Now, we're going to see the second one. This is Genesis chapter 15. Let's go there. And this another lesson we all need to learn from this is that God's dealings in your life are progressive. You don't just get everything one day. He will tell you the whole picture. Then he will start working it out in detail. So this is a further outworking of the plan of God. Genesis chapter 15. Who's still on my side? And after these things, I would say after these things, I didn't hear you. Now turn to your neighbor and say, what things? The separation of Lot, ties to Melchizedek. After these things, after the call, after the separation of Lot, after the rescue of Lot, after the tithes of Melchizedek, after these things, see, I say this every time when we take communion. In fact, we're going to take communion soon. I will give you the dates very soon. You know, you think, you know, because communion is like, you know, it's spiritual stock taking. You know, when you have a contract, you know, they say if you do 10 kilo, maybe you're constructing a road, like Pastor Okorie, you know, you would do 25 kilometers, they will pay you. They give you mobilization fee to start. Then when you've done 50 kilometers, they come and inspect. When you've done probably, they say, okay, we'll give you more money. The same thing with God. Abraham had been faithful. He had obeyed the call. He had left Ur of the Chaldees. He had acted in love without strife towards Lot. Abraham said, God gave him correct mark. Now, let's upgrade the covenant. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a what? Vision. I talked about this last time. You know, there's going to be a lot of restoration of dreams and visions. I was even telling my wife today, you know, at Joel chapter 2 and Acts chapter 2, it says, I'll pour my spirit upon all flesh. They will prophesy. Your sons and your daughters. Turn to your neighbor. Say, your sons and your daughters. And even you, Seth, you will prophesy. You will see visions. You will dream dreams. God is restoring now the gifts of the Spirit, but he's doing it on the basis of the word. The reason why Kenneth Hagin's visions and revelations were so accurate was that it had a word base. The others, many of the others didn't. Kenneth Hagin was praying the Pauline prayers. He was walking in love. And the first 6 months, after the first 6 months, a year, he didn't even have any vision. All he was getting was revelation from the word, revelation from the word. And he said he knew more about the Bible in 6 months than he did in 14 years of preaching. It was after those 6 months, 9 months, about a year. It was 1950. In fact, it was over a year. It was September 1950 that he had his first vision. And from then on, all his visions were spot on, accurate, correct, because it had a base of the word. The Bible says, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is what? No light in them. Those guys seeking vision and dream, seek the word, and then God will embellish you with the visions and the dreams. Are you listening to me? So he appeared to him in a vision, came to him in a vision and said, fear not, Abraham. His name was still Abraham, yeah. Thy shield, I am thy shield. I like this. And thy exceeding great reward. Let me give you context. I'm your shield from people like Lot. I protect you. And I'm your exceeding great reward. You know, you don't need the king of Sodom. I'll reward you. Keep it in context. You see, God was impressed on how Abraham had behaved. Between Genesis 12 and Genesis 15. Talk to your neighbor. Say, your walk with God is progressive. When you do well in stage 1, then you can go to stage 2. When you do well in stage 2, then you can go to stage 3. Most people want to jump to stage 10. Without going through stage 1 and 2, it's not going to work. That's what we learn from Abraham. Fear not, Abraham. Don't be afraid of Sodom and their kings. Don't be afraid of Lot. I'm your shield. And I'm your exceeding great reward. And Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me? Seeing I go childless. And the steward of my house, this Eliezer of Damascus. Let me give context. Abraham is called out of Ur of the Chaldees, which is in Iraq, at the age of 75. Sarah was 65, because there were 10 years between them. They've been trying. No baby. Up till now. And this Abraham, this God, had said that, you know, even in from Genesis chapter 12, you know, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. God, what is happening? And it's okay to inquire, not with unbelief, but with desiring wisdom of what to do. So God now begins to reassure him. And Abraham said, behold, to me, thou hast given no seed. And lo, one born in my house is my heir. He thought, well, if I don't have any children, is this all these strangers, this guy from Damascus, who is going to inherit everything? And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir. See, no matter how bad it looks, hold on to the word of God. This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come out of thine own loins shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, all this is in the vision, so shall thy seed be. And he, Abraham, how many people are children of Abraham here? Everybody wants the blessing of Abraham, but very few people want the faith of Abraham. And he believed him in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. This was the basis of our faith in Jesus Christ that's going to come much later. Righteousness, right standing, does not come by works. It comes by faith. And Abraham was the prototype. God showed him the stars and said, that's how your seed is going to be. And because it was God who had said it, now watch this, this will bless you. Because it was God who had said it, even though Abraham, this by this time he was probably about 80-something, you know, 85, you know. He believed because God had been faithful. See, God brought him from Ur of the Chaldees. That God had blessed him. That God had protected him. That God had provided for him. See, faith is built. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But faith grows by doing and doing the word of God. Because when you do the word of God and you get a result, then it gives you a foundation for the next level. That is why it is from faith to faith. Are you listening to me? These things aren't taught. People don't want to jump. You don't, you know. So Abraham had confidence that the God who said, who had looked after, he said, it's the God who provided for me in Sodom, help me overcome these kings that attacked them in Sodom, help me rescue Lot, and he blessed me, you know, in fact, you've seen one place where it says he was very rich in gold and silver. He will do it. So he believed him, and God said, that makes you righteous. That gives you right standing. Way back in the Old Testament. Now watch this. And he said unto him, I didn't hear you. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? This is not the child, this is the land. He believed the land. He had already believed for the child. He believed when he showed him the stars. So how do I know I'm going to inherit it? I'm not going to go through the long story because of time. That's when God cuts the first covenant with Abraham. He takes some animals and they slice them into two. Abraham passes through the middle. That's where blood covenant comes from. Blood of those animals was shed. See, in the time Abraham lived, and up even to recent times, the last 200-300 years, the tribes, whenever you made a covenant with somebody, a blood covenant involves the shedding of blood, usually of an animal or something. Then they mix the blood together and either party drinks it. Means that I am committed to you for life and you are committed to me for life. The penalty for breaking a blood covenant is death. So Abraham and God cut a blood covenant. This Genesis 15. And God now assures him by that blood covenant that this land, your seed will inherit it. That's why they are wasting their time in the Middle East. I'm being honest. May I digress a minute? And before I say what I want to say this. I love the Palestinians. And I love the Arab people. I want to say that before I say what I want to say. Why? They are also children of Abraham. We're going to see that. God bless them. God has nothing against the Arabs. He has nothing against the Palestinians. But by the same token, God has nothing against the Israelites. This thing was given by God to Abraham's seed through Isaac. God has no problem with people living next door to them. When they were coming to the land, when Moses was bringing them, we're going to see this later when we do with Moses. When he was bringing them to the land, God said, "This is Edom." He said, "Don't touch it. It's your brother's land." He delineated their land to them from the Jordan to the Mediterranean. Then the north is bounded by the river Euphrates. That's how far the land of Israel goes. In the south, it is bounded by the Negev desert, which borders Egypt. God did not, watch this, God didn't give Egypt to the Israelites. He did not give Edom to the Israelites. But all of that one he gave to Israel. Because of disobedience and everything over the years, Israel was kicked out of the land. Because God is a strict God. He's a good God, but he's a God of justice and he keeps his word. And he told them, he said, if you do the nonsense the Amalekites and those people did, sacrificing their children to idols and committing fornication, I said, I will kick you out of the land. And he did. They prayed, God brought a remnant back. That's why we have what we have today. Today, Israel is only occupying less than 50% of the land God promised Abraham. To our right, we have Jordan. To the north, we have Lebanon. To the other north here, we have Syria. God has allowed all of them to coexist. So long, to the south, we have Egypt. So long as they recognize the right of Israel to exist and leave Israel in peace. Egypt learned this the hard way. They fought Israel many times. Israel defeated them. Then a good man, Anwar Sadat, an Egyptian, he made a pact with Menachem Begin. We were teenagers then. You know, some of you weren't born, so you never appreciate what we're talking about. And they formed, and that peace treaty is still in existence. Israel and Egypt don't fight anymore. You know what Israel did? If you don't read the history, you will not know. Because Israel had taken the Negev desert, he gave it back to Egypt. Israel is fair. Israel does not want, Israel knows, and we who know the Bible, and I'm saying this to our Israeli brothers, I'm saying this to our Arab brothers, you know, and our Muslim brothers, because I have nothing against anybody. I want you to know this. Even Israel, we know that we can't get all that land back now. Syria, Jordan, nobody's asking for that. It's all part of the land God gave Iran. You know when we're going to get that back? When Jesus comes. But for now, to fulfill Bible prophecy, that part that God has given them back now, you can't touch it all. If you decide to live in peace with Israel, only one thing will happen to you. You will prosper. You will be blessed. But if you say there is no Israel, you know, death to Israel, you won't be fighting Israel, you'll be fighting God. I counsel my brethren and my friends, leave. If you decide you will leave, Jordan is living in peace with Israel. They made a pact. They used to fight them before. One of the wise kings made a pact with Israel. Today, Israel gives Jordan water. Many of the technology of agriculture, they give to Jordan. Some of the nations that have done the Arab Abraham Accord now, they're getting the UAE and others, they're getting technology from Israel. You can only, it is only going to be good for you if you make peace with Israel. But if you say you want to fight Israel, you're coming against this blood covenant. And you know what the Bible says? He said it to Saul in the Acts of the Apostles. He says, Saul, Saul, it is hard for thee to kick kings. I beg our Arab brethren, don't fight Israel. Live truly in your heart. Don't say, there must be no Israel, I'm going to take the back land. It's not your land, it's God who gave it to them. Live there in peace with them. You will prosper, your children will prosper. All this death and all this can't stop. It can't stop tomorrow. Release the hostages. Release them. Release them. Back. They don't like prophets talking. Genesis chapter 15. Before we close. So they do the blood covenant. So at the end of this, this is where we're going to close today. After the blood covenant was cut, they cut one piece of an animal and all of that. So God now begins to tell Abraham the future of his people. Let's read verse 13. And he said to Abraham, I didn't hear you. Know of a surety. Turn to your neighbor and say, God always knows what he's talking about. His promises are sure. Yea and amen. Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and they shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. This is long before Joseph was born. Turn to your neighbor and say, this is why you need to get your prophetic destiny. Because see, what God has said is going to happen. And also, that nation, which we now know is Egypt, whom they shall serve, will I judge. And it happened. Remember all the plagues? It's long before Moses was born. And afterward, they shall go out with great substance. Exactly the way God said it was how it happened 400 years later. And you will go to your fathers in peace, talking to Abraham. You're not going to see that. You're going to die, you know. And you'll be buried in a good way. But in the fourth generation, that's how we know a generation is about 100 years. This is Revelation. This is scripture I got that revelation from. That's why we know that since Israel was reestablished in 1948, and Jesus said that this generation shall not pass until all these things be fulfilled, we're looking at not set in stone, about, it's a shadow. It's about 100 years. So 2048, somewhere in there. Maybe 2046, it may be 2047, maybe 2050, we don't know until that time comes. And I want to show you this from scripture. You know, if you go to the Old Testament, you find that in the book of 2 Chronicles, when the priests were, singing and playing the trumpets in the Feast of Tabernacles at the dedication of the Temple of Solomon, the Bible says they were 120. But go to the New Testament. You know what it says in the book of Acts? About 120. The shadow and the substance are usually close, but not exact. It is if you don't have correct revelation that you become dogmatic on dates. It wasn't 120 on the day of Pentecost. It says about 120. That's how prophetic shadows are fulfilled. Now, so here, in the fourth generation, they will come, and all of that happened. Then, he promises him all of these things. We're going to close here. Next week, we're going to see Sarah in action. Not this Sarah, the old Sarah. God has already given me his word. God has promised me, seen the stars. A year later, no pregnancy. 2 years later, no pregnancy. So, Sarah has a good idea. Not all good ideas are God ideas. They go down to Egypt, which they shouldn't have done. In Egypt, they pick up a house girl. Her name is Hagar. 3-4 years. From this time to the time of the birth of Isaac is about 14 years. Abraham was about 85, 86. They were still expecting. So Sarah comes up with this idea that, yes, God said it's your seed from your loins. Okay, no problem. If I can have children, this is my house girl. Can have children for you. And the word of God will be fulfilled. It doesn't work like that. It does not work like that. And Abraham, foolishly, and this is where we learn, all these great saints, we all recognize they are all men like us, subject to like passions. That's why we copy their good parts and we avoid their mistakes. This was Abraham's, one of his biggest mistakes. He sleeps with Hagar. Hagar has a child who's called Ishmael. Ishmael is the father of all our Arab brothers. And we're going to see that's where the problem we have today, that's where it started. God was going to keep his word. Abraham needed patience, because it's through faith and patience we inherit the promises. Stand to your feet. Ha! Glory to God. So even Father Abraham and Mommy Sarah were impatient. God was going to do what he was going to do. Somebody said, if he didn't sleep with Hagar, what would have happened? God would have done what he said. Isaac would still have come. And then there would have been no Israeli-Arab conflict. There would have been none. We'll deal with that next week. Let's talk to God. Who's still on my side? So you learn a lot of good things from Abraham, but you don't copy the bad things. Don't listen to your wife all the time. Check it out with God. It's true. Listen. There's a time Abraham, you know, did something and God said, listen to her. Then there was this time you shouldn't have listened to her. And usually, you know, women sometimes have a tendency to be a little bit anxious. How many people know that? Honey, can you eat what? I'm a lot of one cautious. Can you see it now? You see fulfillment. Honey, I'm a lot of shenko. When you hear that, don't listen. For you have need of patience. We would not have the problem we have today if Abraham had just consulted God. Sarah said this. What do you say? But you know, a woman can put man under pressure in the house. And look at the problem. Let's talk to God. God help me. Let's talk to God.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. We believe these words have empowered you to live a victorious, transcendent life in Christ. Our mission is to equip God's people for service and build up the body of Christ until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. We encourage you to enjoy and share from thousands of resources, including books, sermons, prophecies, and articles available on our website, spcconline.org. Thank you, and God bless you.